This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. I'm once again joined by Rematch. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. We don't have to do any catching up now, do we?
No. Well, that's what we tend to do when we have two podcast records back to back.
We always acknowledge it.
It's so relevant, isn't it? Yeah. What have I been up to? I booked a trip to New York for New Year's Eve.
Have you really?
Yeah.
How long are you going for?
For a week. 28th to the 4th of January. So, any recommends? Tweet at...
This is not fucking TripAdvisor, mate. And don't tweet.
Please tweet rubbish.
We do have a Twitter account.
At HHSM. Who set that up?
I set it up. I haven't done anything with it though. Yeah.
Maybe I could do a live, I could do a special report from New York. You could set me a challenge.
Okay.
Hip hop related.
Just
challenge.
Listen to some hip hop.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be my. That would be my challenge to you. Do something hip-hoppy that you couldn't do here.
Okay,
that's your challenge. All right,
I'll think on that.
I'm going away for Christmas.
Oh, you?
Let's have a talk to you about this.
No,
Centre Parks.
Oh, lovely. Which one?
Woburn,
the best.
Well, the newest, certainly. Oh. But I'm actually there with my family, at Christmas.
Yeah,
like on Christmas Day.
Is it like a package includes dinner and everything and?
No, you have to book all that separately. Right, basically, what you do is you pay a shitload of money to get a Centre Parks, and then they send you an email going, book your activities, and then every single thing you click on adds another £100 to your total. It's fucking insane. But I haven't told my mum... The reason I mention it, I haven't told my mum yet that I'm not going to be home for Christmas, so...
Can't you take her with you?
Yes, mate. Yeah, or I could just burn a shitload of money. I don't know how you thought... Why would you think that would be... Yeah, I could take her with me, but it'd be fucking shit.
But it's Christmas. It's that time of year. Never mind.
Oh, God, maybe I should have done.
You're taking your kids and your wife and...
Yeah.
Who else?
That's it. Kids and wife.
Right. Well, she could drop in on Boxing Day.
She's not going to make her way to Woburn, mate, on her own. unassisted. Absolutely no fucking chance. I'm going to ask our guest about this.
This is the bit where we introduce our guest.
We are joined by legendary, I would say. I'm going to say this every... Do I say this legendary every time?
Yeah.
Producer, writer...
Dancer.
Dancer. Mm-hmm. Hip-hop aficionado. Robert Popper, who... I'm just putting this to you now. I would like to refer to you on this podcast as Bobby P.
You may.
Thank you.
Bobby P in the place to be.
How are you?
I'm fine, yeah.
Good.
So you're not going to take your mother?
Do you think that's bad, honestly?
I think you should take your mother.
Yeah.
Are you being serious?
And an auntie, maybe, for company for her, an auntie or an uncle. I think you should.
I think you should
take your mother, yeah, definitely. Okay. Could you take my mother as well, please?
You could do it as a surprise gift, so it's sort of like a present at the same time.
What if I surprise both my mum and my wife?
Your wife would love your mother to come, obviously.
Yeah, so she wouldn't know.
Yeah.
My wife wouldn't know. I would send my mum early. She's sitting in the cabin.
What are you doing here?
Yeah, open the door.
Is it like a floating... Is it just water everywhere? I've never been. I just imagine, literally, you go there and there's like tunnels... going through your room with kids swimming, you just constantly you're
you
lying there and a kid
will just, don't you?
Yeah, is it? Is it a water park?
It does have element to it.
Or is it also, is it the dome, the geo thingy dome where they do all the plants and there's sort of birds and butterflies? Maybe it's a mixture of birds, butterflies and kids swimming through them.
What you've done is you've seen a Centre Parks advert, gone straight to bed, dreamed about it, and then you've assumed that's what is in Centre Parks. That's basically
what's
happened.
Is that a bit like it?
It is a bit like it.
Is there butterflies flying around while you're that sort of gets stuck to your face as you fly past on like water slide? Can you fly there?
I assume you can fly there. I
mean,
you
get underground tunnel.
And you wouldn't bring your own mother. She's going to miss out on that experience.
All right, fine. I'll take my mum. Fine.
A Jewish lad like you.
Yeah.
Would you do that to your mother?
All right, fine. Mum, if you listen to... She doesn't listen to the
surprise.
Podcast. She doesn't actually know I do a podcast, but if you are listening, Mum... Mum, as when this podcast goes out, you've got 2 days to tell me if you want to come. If you don't reply, then I'll assume you don't want to come. Robert, how's life... Bobby P, how's life treating you?
Life is good, yeah.
What are you up to at the moment?
Well, I enjoyed finding this little room. Lovely. Did you 20 minute walk from the station. There's no, it's weird. Yeah, it's I went through some weird tunnel. And a young boy of about 9 who was riding a unicycle. That was really odd. Quite poshly dressed. He wasn't really very, very good on it either. Well, I know this because my brother used to ride a unicycle, which is embarrassing for about 7 years. Because he didn't pick me up from places on his unicycle.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
Where would you sit?
Edgware Station, where I used to live when I was a kid. I couldn't get the bus. There was like a strike, and I phoned home before mobiles and said, can you pick me up? And he said, I'll get the car, and the car had broken down. So he thought, well, it's better if I come on my unicycle. And just cycling up Edgware High Street, this little boy on a unicycle. It's just slightly embarrassing. Because the drivers just hoot at him. He just insists on... Regularly we'd go out, he'd just be on his unicycle and I'd be walking next to him and just he'd get abuse from you know, drivers and I'd go, please just, can you just get off the unicycle, maybe walk with the unicycle, that's fine, but don't have to go on with the arms, you know, in the air. So, you know.
But then he would give you a lift on the unicycle.
Well, no, it would be, the lift would be, just you walk, it's quicker to get to you on the unicycle, so I'll take the unicycle rather than walk there.
Get you home, you walk safely.
Yeah. It's kind of the opposite of hip-hop, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, unicycle.
It is the direct opposite, I believe.
It is.
And this boy that you saw that was riding the unicycle.
Smart.
Was he heading somewhere? Was it an act?
No, it wasn't an act. No. Right. I mean, unless it's a weird art act. You know, I'm just going to go around London Bridge. And
so he was getting somewhere on the unicycle?
He was going somewhere on the
Holy shit.
I saw a family once in Hackney on unicycle, like 4 of them all on unicycles. It's an unsettling thing to see.
Yeah. It's one of the worst things I've ever heard.
Yeah. Yeah. Two boys, horrible.
That is so...
Are you ready? Have you got your unicycle? Oh, I forgot my unicycle. Sorry, I've got...
That's not something you see in a horror film.
Yeah.
That is, actually. That would be quite a good horror film.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's disgusting.
It is disgusting.
I want to talk about Look Around You.
Yeah.
This sort of... I'm just going to say parody science show. It's not. I'm doing it a disservice by saying that. It was like a
classic.
It's
if you have not seen it, you've got to watch it.
I've seen it. The listeners.
I'm talking to the listeners now. Sorry. If you're not seen it, you've got to watch it. It's incredible, man. It's so good.
Thank you.
How did you come up with the idea? Was it?
Well, it's me and Peter Serafinowicz.
Yeah.
When we became friends and we bonded over a thing we would do in the evenings called Pot Club. We remembered
that
pottery and stuff. We remembered all these old shows that they show you at school, or if you were ill at home, and they'd either be on really early or late at night, and they were not the Open University ones, the ones with this creepy blue background and really complicated and quite cold and just too complicated to show kids or adults or even scientists. And why are you watching them? And they just, because the teacher probably hadn't prepared a class, and you'd see them, and they were sort of a horrible treat when they were on. And I worked at Granada at the time. Don't know what I was doing there. And raided their sort of their library, and they had all these old tapes of these shows. We used to watch them a lot. And then we thought, wouldn't it be fun just to make a pretend one, like one about calcium? Why not? And say as a short film for fun, because then we could say we're doing a short film. Most people go boring. Yes, but it's a comedy all about calcium, and hopefully people go, oh, what is that? Either they say, I don't want to see that, or I do want to see that. And so we just made that, and then that led to... It was just for fun. We didn't make it for TV. We just did it for fun, and then people liked it. And then they said, oh, can you do a series, please? And we said, yes.
Amazing.
And then we did it.
So hold on. When you said you didn't make it for telly...
We made a short film, first of all.
So where did you show it?
We showed it. We had a big screening in some cinema years ago.
Right.
And we invited all people we really admire, lots of comedy people. And it was kind of a word of mouth thing. Then people started talking about it. People started saying, you should do it for TV. And we hadn't, because we thought it was so weird, the programme. Who would do this on TV? And then Talkback, the production company, got interested. And we pitched it to BBC. And they said, yeah, we'll give you 8 episodes. No, they said we'll give you 6 episodes. And I said, can you give us 10? And they go, no, all right, then we'll give you 8. It's like that. You know,
oh,
okay.
My God. Imagine if commissioning went like that now.
That's it. We'll give you 6. And I just sort of said, well, what about 10? They went, 8. Like, oh, you don't ask. It was weird. I just thought afterwards, why did they need to do that?
Yeah.
So we did that. And then did a second series, which were 30-minute, sort of more like Tomorrow's World.
Which you famously had a rapper in it, didn't you?
We did. We had a rapper in it. We had an episode on music, and it was music from the year 2000, What Will It Be Like? Music of the Future. and an actor called Chris Obi came on as, I've forgotten his name, who he played, but he's a profiterole chef from London. And he said that, I believe in the music of rap music. And we all never really heard of rap music. Will be it's where they talk over the beat. They talk over the music, and I really believe that. And it's the sort of track that Peter did. Actually, it's like really crappy. And it's I'm rapping all day and I'm rapping all night. I rap to the rhythm and I rap it all right. And it's because I'm rapping.
I'm rapping all day and I'm rapping all night. Rapping to the beat and I rap it up tight. I rap in the morning and I rap till I'm done. And everybody knows that I'm number one. Cause I'm rapping, I'm rapping, I'm rap, rap, rapping, I'm rapping, I'm rapping, I'm rapity, rapping.
That's how I got into hip hop.
Yeah. Well, I'd never heard of it before.
Well, it answers a lot of questions, actually.
Yeah.
God, it's amazing.
That's a good segue you thought of.
Here's a little bit that you like to pull. How did you get into hip hop?
Right, so anyway, sorry, you're a hip hop fan.
Yeah, well, I used to be a big hip hop fan.
Yeah.
And then over the years, I don't listen to it as much. I dip in and out. But then, yeah, I mean, I got into it when I was young. And yeah, I used to listen to it a lot. Yes.
What was your gateway?
Well, the first, it sounds cliche, but the first track, I must have been about, how old was I? About 15, 16. When I was in R Price Records, it doesn't exist, in Golders Green, and I heard The Message. And then hearing that, I remember very clearly hearing that. I was on the left of the shop. Yeah. It's no longer there, but I promise you it's true. It wasn't the right. And I remember staying and listening to that, and wow. And whether I purchased it or not that day, I don't know. But then from then on, that was the sort of music I really was like into, all that stuff. And then looking at, yeah, well, do you remember that track, actually? What was that great track? Do you remember Malcolm X, No Sellout? No Sellout.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
That was a great track then as well. I used to like that.
And so you were in a shop. You were in and you just sort of, you got connected.
I just remember listening to that. And I hadn't heard music like
and
that.
And what were the early albums that you...
It was probably Rakim. Rakim. Beastie Boys. License to Ill. Then it was like EPMD, Strictly Business. So I love EPMD. They were like... You Got to Chill was a thing I used to listen to like 50 times in a row.
Relax your mind, let your conscience be free and get down to the sounds of your PMD. But you should keep quiet while the MC rap. But if you're tired, then go take a nap. Or stay awake and watch the show I take. Because right now, I'm about to shake and bake. The E-I-C-K is my name I spell. Thanks to the clientele, yo, I rock well.
Eric, EPMD.
Yeah.
Eric and Parrot.
Yeah.
Do you have a preference?
Yeah, wasn't it Eric? Eric was the one, I think.
Yeah.
But they fell out and then they became friends again, didn't it?
Yeah.
And they always had business in the name.
Yeah, they fell out. Yeah, there's like Strictly business as usual, open for business.
Business gone bad.
Business never...
Yeah.
What was
business
that?
Never personal.
Business gone bad.
Yeah.
What a wonderful
Strictly
business.
what a fruity business this is.
There's no business like that business. Oh, sorry, I've done some business in the garden.
Yeah. It's a nasty business.
I was with the cartoon dog on the front. Yeah. Then they just did cartoon dog stuff, didn't they?
Yeah. It was, but they did fall out, yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, they fell out so much that Redman, because Eric Sermon...
Oh, yeah, and Redman did stuff.
Redman, and Redman did a little diss at Parrish Smith.
Eric
and Parrish Making Dollars, wasn't it?
That's what it was. What a great name. I don't know what they fell out over is the actual truth. So
I think one of them was having their front, it was having some paving done the front of their house.
Right.
And the guy he recommended turned out to be a bit of a rip-off merchant, and he hadn't told him, and they were really angry that the paving was all wrong, I think. And it was because it was leakage when it rained and stuff.
Right.
I think it was about drainage, maybe, soil drainage, I think. Because there is a track where they do talk about soil drainage, and I think that alludes to their argument. It's the one when they got back together again. So
that soil drainage, that was off the garden EP, wasn't
it's called We're Back in Business.
But Business in the Garden.
Business in the Garden, yeah, you're right. With the
but Parrish Smith, I just didn't think was very good.
Did he do much solo stuff?
He did, yeah. Mm.
I didn't hear his... I don't remember. I remember liking them together, though. But it was... You like Eric Sermon, when you hear his voice, you're like, and when you hear Thingy's voice. He went, okay, yeah, I still like him together, but he's back now. It was a bit like that. It was, wasn't it?
Yeah,
but then the music was so fantastic underneath the sort of reverb-y stuff and that bass. And So What You're Saying, that was a great track.
Yeah, I feel like Eric Sermon had more confidence in his abilities as a solo artist because he went by Eric Sermon.
Yeah.
Whereas Parrish Smith called himself PMD.
Mm. Oh, did
yeah,
he?
That's right.
Yeah. So, Parrish makes making dollars.
Yeah. There's no Eric there.
No.
Lost the E. Yeah.
Mm.
It's a real
PMD,
sort of,
PMD.
Yeah.
Imagine PMD if just sounds like a company.
I know.
You know,
EPMD.
Plastic Moulding Division. Or
yeah.
You know, based in Ruislip. That's where he works now. Good luck to him, I say.
Yeah.
I mean, he's had a hard time.
Did you listen to all of EPMD's albums, or was it just one?
I probably had about three of their albums. I can't remember them all, but I definitely had. I remember having them, and they generally were on cars, sitting on cars. I mean, that's kind of standard, though, isn't it? Sitting on the car.
Yeah.
The front of the car.
Yeah.
It's not. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, but I mean. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I had. Yeah, I think I sort of grew out on them a bit.
Yeah.
But a few of their tracks. I mean, So What You're Saying, that was probably my favourite EPMD track.
Yeah.
What do you think of that one? You know that one?
I tell you what, I got into EPMD late and. You never liked them as if you'd, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I still thought it was good, yeah. But when you, so I still liked it. I think they're great. And I did buy loads of Eric Sermon solo stuff. But weirdly, I had a weird route into it. It's like, I just obsessed with Redman.
I forgot about him. But him and Eric Sermon stuff was good.
Yeah, and I really.
He did a lot of collaboration tracks.
And then they had the Death Squad album, which was him, Eric Sermon, Redman, and Keith Murray.
Okay. Okay,
the dream team.
Yeah.
What was his song?
The most beautifulest thing.
Yeah.
The most beautifulest thing in this world.
He was the same time as Craig Mack, wasn't he?
Yeah. And
Keith Murray, that lyric, I stick my dick in the ground and turn the whole world around.
Wow.
Keith Murray, didn't he?
Was it? That's brilliant.
I mean, your looks.
He mentioned.
It
doesn't stick out in my memory, but I think it should. I wouldn't doubt Rupert's knowledge on it, but. He says stuff like organic. It was all about vocabulary, Keith Murray, wasn't he?
I can't remember.
Although
beautifulist, like,
ironically,
just like that.
And then he starts talking about organic compounds.
I think I used to listen to a lot of Westwood on the radio then. That's basically where I listened
now,
to.
Now, you and I are big Westwood fans, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was. I don't listen to him now. And yeah, people sort of diss him for being an idiot. But he has ridiculously good taste in music. Mm. It's ridiculous, like, because he was started on the Capital Radio rap show when I listened to him. And then he moved to Radio 1. But there'd be other... I remember then Kiss FM got a rap show. It just wasn't as good.
No.
The taste of music wasn't... He had brilliant, brilliant tracks. He was generally... 90% of stuff he played was brilliant.
Yeah.
And then you just liked him, didn't care that he was an idiot. You know, all that stuff he would do. You know, when he had rappers come in and chat... Any mini joke they made that was never funny, it to him was the funniest thing he'd ever heard.
Big up to all my B-boys in Alfriston.
Exactly.
Did you think he was stupid, like silly back in the day when you were like properly?
No,
not completely.
It's more
stupid.
Of a sort of thing now, isn't it?
But I sort of have an affection for him though.
Yeah.
I do have an affection for him.
I do. And I think even though retrospectively you think, he had that the voice. It's because everybody used to refer to his background and like, how does this guy talk like this?
Mm. Yeah.
But Westwood, for a time, was the only place you could listen to hip-hop. Certainly the best place you could listen to hip-hop. And the difference between... I just think with Westwood is... Like now, even all three of us would arguably to different degrees are less into or have dipped in and out of hip-hop. There's a lot of hip-hop we won't listen to now. Whereas Westwood... has stayed on top of it.
I'll only listen to white hip hop, but carry on.
Yeah. But he stayed current and stayed he listens to everything and picks out the best stuff.
Yeah, he's amazing.
And
yeah,
I just think he's done a lot for hip hop in this country, and I think I just think it's a
he should be knighted.
He should. It sounds like he's about to come in, and we're gonna.
Yeah, I really.
He wouldn't
really,
be. He's a tall guy though. He's big.
Yeah,
he's,
I felt like
him?
I went over
you
the top there. Yeah, I met him.
He's big,
yeah.
Isn't he?
Yeah, he is massive. Yeah,
he's massive, isn't he?
He still wears baggy clothes.
Yeah, he's just like the sort of 90s.
I thought
90s.
His Pimp My Ride was better than Exhibit's.
No.
Yeah. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, I like Exhibit. He had more charm.
No, but that's what I mean. But that's why I like Westwood.
Yeah, I know what you mean, because he had less charm, so it was better. In that way it is, of course. I was thinking of Exhibit the other day.
Yeah.
I don't really remember his music. He sort of exuded a Busta Rhymes
paparazzi.
Charm when you saw him.
Yeah, Exhibit, paparazzi.
Makes you cry, doesn't it?
Have I told you that?
No, but I think, well, maybe. So
it might do.
It's what, a track makes you cry?
No, it doesn't make me cry. Paparazzi. Anyway, that song.
We'll have it playing underneath.
Yeah, it's got a classic.
Well, no, let me listen to it.
1996, dysfunctional member of the alcoholic family. This exhibit, bring it live, one time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you get that. It's classical, classical music underneath.
Classical, just generic classical. Yeah, it's classical.
What? No, no, but what I mean is it's a classical
orchestral
break. What is it, though? I can't remember the sample.
Marla's Fourth, yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
So that song's great. That album was great.
Great.
But it did spawn a subgenre called classical rap, and there was an album that came out where loads of people had just got classical tunes and rapped it, and it was
That doesn't sound good. That doesn't sound good.
Paparazzi was good.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
That album was great.
Right.
He's just formed a group with, oh God, I can't remember who the others are. I think it might be B-Real from Cypress Hill. Him, B-Real, and someone else.
I was listening to B-Real recently.
We were talking about B-Real. Okay,
prior to this for 5 seconds of new hip-hop.
Yeah. Because you...
I love Danny Brown's album, Atrocity Exhibition. It's ridiculous.
Danny Brown is just incredible.
It's amazing. And it's kind of all good, apart from the one track with B-Real, where it's just... I think the track's called something like I Get High. Mm. And it's, again, he's still talking about getting high.
What do you think made B-Real decide to sort of step out of his comfort zone and talk about this for a change?
I don't know, because he's always shunned any recreational activities, isn't he? It's like, oh, my God, he's still rapping about that. I get high. It's like, oh, my God, I didn't know that. Wow, and he's... Well, he's come to tell via this other artist that I also like getting high. It's like a surprise. And also, it's a really terrible track. Also, their voices are vaguely similar as well. It's a bit annoying.
Yeah.
But the production on that album is fantastic. It's kind of vaguely Wu-Tang-y in parts.
Danny Brown, is he mad?
Is he mad?
I
don't know, maybe.
What's his history? Is he was he like a bit of a cracker back in the day?
Is he?
Well, I mean, Rupert, I don't think so. I don't know why you were just fucking hell. What
sued,
a back,
sued,
what
talk back, down.
What a backstory just attached
sued.
To someone.
All of you sued, brought down.
I feel like I've heard him say that in an interview.
Really?
I think...
He's dabbled.
He, he's done a lot of... Yeah. He talks about it. I mean, substance abuse is... Yeah. He's into it. But I just feel like he's sort of... it feels like he just picked it. Like he's one of these guys that would do anything, and hip hop just happens to be what he's picked. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's so bonkers, his stuff.
It's just really dark and unexpected, and you don't know what's going to happen at any point, really.
Yeah.
Apart from the B-Real one, where he comes on and tells her that he likes to get high, and I know what's going to happen. So when I transfer it to my phone, that song won't be on it because it ruins the album.
Okay,
this
is an interesting point here, right?
Vaguely interesting.
I think it's very interesting, Bobby.
So do
I. Right? Is that when? So, for example, I moved some music onto. Oh, God, actually, this is fucking boring. But I got a couple of albums last night. Moved them across to my phone. Right. For those of you that are interested, it was Year of the Monkey, Dabbler, and Return of the Twat, Dirty Dyke, right? So, those are the two albums, right? Now, when you bring it out, put an album across, you could leave a track behind on these two albums.
I don't normally.
But are you not taking away... That album is meant to be enjoyed as
sure,
it is, isn't it?
But so, I don't enjoy it. I enjoyed the whole album as a whole.
Skip it anyways.
Yeah, and it's like, this one is ruining the album. Ruining the album, this one. It's just album ruiner. Yeah. What happened then? What accent that is.
Turned into B-Real.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, man, what's your favorite hip-hop album?
What would you say is your favorite hip-hop album of all time?
I know that answer completely. Yes, I do. I totally have a favourite, and it is Liquid Sores by Jizza. That is my favourite hip-hop album, definitely.
Well, nobody said that.
Really?
Yeah.
That is my favourite
album. Go on, why?
It's perfect. It's just, of all the Wu-Tang-y people's albums...
Is Jizza your favourite Wu-Tang MC?
Yes, he is, okay. Yeah. Although I do also liked it when RZA appeared sometimes.
Yeah.
My penis rise up in the morning like a phoenix. That was one of his lines. That's not a good impression. He's crazy.
You saw that was RZA as a preacher. It's like
My penis. Rise up in the morning like I can't do it. Yeah. Obviously, try but my penis rise up in the morning like a phoenix.
Yeah,
that was good. But I really. I mean, obviously, when you first hear them, you think, "Oh, Method Man's the greatest" because of his voice is so cool. And his first album was amazing.
Yeah.
Tony Cow and stuff. But Liquid Sores just had the mood to the whole thing was so, I don't know, so oppressive and fun. It's a beautiful album, and the samples are incredible. Yeah. And Jewel of the Iron Mike, that's probably my favourite track.
Hit your blood baths and elevate the shafts like these murderous rhymes, tight from genuine craft. Check the print, swear veteran, spark the lettering. Slow moving MCs is waiting for the editing. The liquid soluble that made up the chemistry, a gaseous element that burned down your ministry.
It's just.
But Liquid Sores itself, the track, is in. I love that.
The whole, yeah. If you're living in the world today, you know, the whole thing, yeah. Yeah,
Jizza underrated, right? I mean,
And he's called Genius Jizza. He's meant to be super cool. You know, he's really a science
buff. I've heard that. Yeah, yeah.
He's a proper science buff and a brilliant chess guy. Like, RZA's meant to be great at chess as well. I know you play chess, though.
Yeah.
You're playing chess now. It's incredible. Both of them.
Although, a company.
Bobby Digital was disappointing.
Yes, it was.
That was a very disappointing. It was forcing such yourself a shit. To enjoy. This is going to be the great.
Bobby, Bobby, Bobby. Digi. I get up in that ass like a Victoria's Secret wedgie.
That's where penis rise up in the morning. Like, I think it was on there, I think. Yeah, the cover was disappointing as well.
Oh, my God.
Where he has an alter ego. Alter ego. He had an altered eagle on it. The eagle was annoying. It was flapping.
Just couldn't get it quiet.
Oh my God! You think they would have just put him in the other room?
Yeah,
But it was like, oh, this is gonna. Oh my God, RZA's got an album.
Yeah,
this is gonna be, you know, the best. And I'm gonna force myself to really enjoy it, even though his voice is slightly annoying. But I do love it in small doses. And then the album was really annoying.
Yeah, the RZA's voice is.
I do like it, but in small when he pops in.
No,
and
but it's nice when it's kicking against something. Whereas, what I mean, you've heard a load of people with normal voices,
and then he comes in
as a contrast.
It's a treat.
He's a great off-the-bench player, but you wouldn't put him in a starting lineup, is
no,
what I'm saying.
No, you know what I mean?
Last 10 minutes, you need a goal.
I met Method Man and old ODB.
Together.
I cannot believe that we've been talking for this amount of time and you haven't brought this
and
up.
And I got a photo with me with them. It was when I worked on The Big Breakfast and I wrote for Zig and Zag. Remember them, the puppets?
Yeah. I do, of course I remember them.
And they came on. And
did you write?
I wrote some stuff for them.
Did you write their song?
No, I didn't write their song. I don't remember their song.
They All Love Me, They All Love Me, The Girls Are Girls, They All Love Me.
Oh, was it a bit sort of like,
a sort of dancehall number?
Yeah, it was dancehall. Yeah. They had a dancehall thing going on, though, so it's funny. So I didn't get them on, but they came on, and no one else on the team was like a hip-hop fan. It was just like these American rappers, and I was like, oh my God, it's Method Man and ODB. He's coming in nutcase. Oh my God. So when they arrived, I was like a nervous, I went to meet them, or I said, I'll meet them. And I was like trying to be cool, and I was like, "Oh, I'm a really big fan." And I said to ODB, "I remember that my favourite track of yours is Snakes, which is a really weird track on the album." And he went, "You know Snakes?" Like that. I couldn't believe I knew the track because it is. And I thought, "Oh, this is cool." And then, do you know the track Snakes?
Yeah.
It's just a really creepy track he's done. It's fantastic.
Bad Leroy Brown, baddest man in the whole damn town, better than the deep blue sea. Better than you and me. Niggas coming through the trees like a salamander, biting like a piranha. But I'm biting your back like a Black Panther. The style I'm amping the.
And Method Man was literally like the coolest person I've ever met in my life, type thing. And ODB was. You look at him, you say, "Oh, you're probably on drugs." And you keep making inappropriate comments to the women. Oh. It's a bit like that. And I got a photo done with them, like an actual photo, like not digital camera photo. And it was like my prized possession for about a day. And then I lost it.
Oh my God.
Me in the middle of them with my arms around, my favourite rappers, lost. Never found. Gone. That's the story.
So we haven't actually got anything to verify that story.
But if you took me to Centre Parks, it'll make up. Me and your mum, we can share a room, twin beds.
Recreate that photo.
Twin beds.
I remember when ODB was on, in fact, Wu-Tang were on a Westwood show.
Oh, yeah.
And they got people to phone in.
Did you phone in?
I didn't phone in, but somebody phoned in and said, it was really funny. I remember laughing. My mate recorded it and we listened to it for days repeatedly.
Mm. Yeah.
Somebody phoned up and went, Wu-Tang used to be good, man, but they fucking sold out. Like, why come you ain't doing the shit like you used to do? And then ODB went, hey, man, you know my man Tone? And he said, what? And he goes, dial Tone, motherfucker!
That's brilliant. Motherfucker.
Oh, my God, it was quality. We listened to that over and over again. I mean, that was the worst ODB impression of all time.
No. It's pretty good.
I loved ODB. In fact, I was listening to 36 Chambers of Dirty version just recently because Brooklyn Zoo. What a track.
Yeah,
and then there's a bit where he just goes, he's just so weird.
He's so weird.
There's a bit where he goes, he just starts going, you know that bit where you make your voice strip? He does that for fucking ages. He recorded that.
I know.
We've all done it on our own, like at home.
I don't remember a band I was thinking on the way here. Do you remember The Alcoholics?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That album was amazing. What about Only When I'm Drunk?
Yeah.
I get drunk and I stumble to the phone and conjure up a bitch to bone when I'm alone. Bullshit, I'm told back I need to take a piss. Only when I'm drunk I sing a song like this. My grandma and your grandma sitting by the fire. Hold on, turn the beat off.
That album was fantastic. Mm. The Alcoholics.
Swimming in the water and the cupboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a crazy album, wasn't it? And it was just about them being pissed the whole time. Every track was, but it was fantastic.
Well, they had to be, with that name.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, well, actually, you say that, but they changed their name, didn't they?
Because
The Alcoholics was considered maybe a little bit limiting, they changed their name to The Licks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And they started referring to themselves as The Licks. I mean, they still talked about being pissed all the time, but
I suddenly remember that album, like, yesterday out of nowhere. Oh, yeah.
What was the name of the lead guy from The Alcoholics?
Oh, I don't remember his name.
He did a song with Q-Tip.
Martin Henderson? Good. No.
Yeah, it was. Martin Henderson. It's so good, man.
Yeah. Oh, I don't remember that. Really with Q-Tip, that would be nice.
Yeah, it was really good.
Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah, Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah, been re-listening to Midnight Marauders. That was my album I liked, that one. I thought that was better than Low End Theory.
Yes, I agree.
It just had a whole sound to it all.
Midnight Marauders is great.
That's beautiful, that one.
I remember, right, so Tribe Called Quest, a lot of people's favourite hip-hop band of all time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I do think they're great, there's no doubt in that. And actually, if you haven't listened to the Q-Tip and Busta Rhymes album, Abstract Dragon...
Right? No, I don't know that one.
It was fairly recent. Yeah. It's really good, man. Because I thought... It is good. I think it's great, right? But, like, I listened to it with not much expectation.
Yeah.
Because I just thought, this is just going to be some... You know, first of all, I never would have put them two together. Second of all, I wonder if this is, like, dreamed up in a marketing thing. But actually, it's really good.
I really
liked it. But I remember Tribe Called Quest, and then they came back with The Love Movement, and... I can't remember the first single of it. Find a Way, right? It was their first single.
I don't remember that one.
I remember just being really disappointed. I remember thinking, "Oh, this is shit."
Was it the Love Movement?
Maybe Google it. Low End Theory. You're right, though. Is their second album?
That's what I'm getting.
But The Love Movement is the later one.
Okay.
I remember thinking it wasn't good. And then later on, I went back and listened to it, and it was
good.
It was really good, yeah. Tribe Called Quest are wicked. And it is worth searching out Abstract Dragon.
Yeah, I mean, we listened to Midnight. I like a war tour, I just hear. Oh, my God. Three times in a row. That's just amazing.
And then De La Soul were in that video.
Yeah, and they were all around together, though, weren't
they?
I like De La Soul, but also always found them a bit annoying.
You found De La Soul annoying?
Yeah, I liked the first album, and then the later stuff I found a bit... Yeah, I did. It just slightly annoyed me. I don't know what it was. And then there was things like Diggable Planets, and they got annoying.
They were annoying.
Like Beautiful Child. It was all that stuff. They were annoying.
And then Diggable Planets, I'm cool like that.
But Black Sheep were around, and they were good.
Black Sheep were great. Black Sheep.
That's one of your hip hop gripes, isn't it?
Oh, man. Hip hop gripes.
The jazzy.
Yeah, when it gets too jazzy, it's sort of annoying. Like, well, I was saying, like Gangstar, I love.
Yeah.
But then sometimes there was a period when things went too, like, jazzy.
Yeah.
Mm. And I do like jazz, but if it's too jazzy, there's a Quincy Jones album out about 1989 that had a lot of rappers on it, but with jazz, and it was sort of quite annoying.
Well, there was a movement, wasn't there, for a bit.
Well, yeah. Gangstar, great.
They were great.
But then when they did the Jazzmatazz, that can fuck off.
Yeah, that was
annoying. I fucking
hated
Guru,
that. That was solo, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that
Guru was presents Jazzmatazz.
Yeah, sort of brand new heavies and
just
stuff.
A load
brand new heavies. Oh, God.
Shit, mate. Cantaloupe,
Us 3, do you remember that?
Oh, remember my God, Cantaloupe!
Remember Us 3?
Yeah, Flip, 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 Fantasia.
Brace yourself as the beat hits you. Dip, trip, Flip, Fantasia.
What about oh, my God, that song. Da-dun, da-dun. Dip, trip, flip, bend, fuck off. Oh, my God,
yeah, there was
God,
a real
mate.
Period.
What a shout.
It was a jazzy what? Period that was annoying. Yeah.
What?
It just went too jazzy.
Galliano, but they weren't quite hip-hop.
Well, that was all the...
Sort of, there was crossovers.
That was the Rare Groove stuff that came out, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, jazz is good.
Dream Warriors?
Yeah, of course. Dream Warriors, yeah, of course. Yeah. Jazz is good. Of course it's good.
Yeah, it's great, obviously. But, I mean...
Not
just
too much jazz.
Too much jazz with hip-hop.
It's like putting hot sauce in porridge. Do you know what I mean? It's just not right.
Just a little bit's good, but too much, yeah. You just want a bowl of hot sauce. So
yeah,
a tiny
yeah,
bit of porridge in it. That's what you want. That's the way to have it.
What did you just say? What was it, band you just...
No? Dream Warriors.
Dream Warriors.
Wash your face in my sink.
Oh, my God. That was really annoying, that one. Do you remember, like, LL Cool J's weird track? Do you remember Milky Cereal? Milky.
Oh, yeah.
Cereal. That was weird.
Was that a jazzy one?
No, it was a big...
Jazzy,
it was a hit.
Just weird.
Just annoying.
It was a hit.
No, but he did a lot of weird things.
But that was really... That was odd.
Yeah,
but it's sort of like Milky Cereal.
He did, like...
Milky. Cereal. I was just like, remember hearing it going, this is great, but it's not...
Do you remember his song Big Old Butt? Where,
not really.
So there's a song where
maybe.
He's with a girl.
Right.
And then he leaves her for another girl because she's got a big old butt. And then he leaves
he's
that
old.
Girl.
It's more about being old.
Yeah.
It's just
and,
old.
Yeah. And then he leaves her because another girl. And it's just a series
oh,
of
right.
girls. So he goes, and I got
poor
to go
LL.
Because Lisa got a big old butt. And I told you I'd be true. But Lisa got a big old butt, so I'm leaving you. Imagine if that was genuinely the reason that somebody gave me for walking
them.
Out. But we've got three kids, mate. I know, but...
Your big old butt. Your bottom's really big. But mainly it's older than you. Like, you're... You know, you feel quite... You look quite young, but your bottom is age. It's like 70-year-old bottom connected to your... butt, and it's also big, so I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, I do understand. Over.
Yeah. It's an awkward end to a conversation and a relationship. So your hip-hop gripe is jazz...
No, it's going too jazzy.
Right.
That's that. And what else is hip-hop? Yeah. Too much singing. Too much, like, too much, yeah. You know, that sort of... Too much R&B stuff in hip-hop. That annoys me. It does. Or there's an album and there's just the keyboards coming in and you just have sort of R&B-y, gentle, soul-y beat. And they're rapping about the days and reminiscing and stuff. That can be annoying. Like you told me to listen to some Fabulous stuff.
Oh, yeah.
There was some stuff there.
There's a lot of R&B.
I mean,
so the reason I mentioned Fabulous, right, okay?
Yeah.
The reason I mentioned him, because I basically...
What do you think?
I suggested to Bobby P and Roomage that listen to Fabulous, right? Now, the reason... I wanted to know what you think. Okay, first of all, what did you think of him? Did you hate him?
Well, the first album was really good. I think I'm pretty sure I had that. I suddenly can't remember the name, but if you had the album, I would remember it. Oh, that, and you go, yeah, of course, that track. And then, so it's good. And then it just goes a bit kind of like, I don't know, too much sort of...
R&B.
And then, but then there's a couple of albums, like 2014 there was an album that's quite like about Brooklyn or something.
Yeah.
And there's some really good tracks on that.
Yeah.
And so it's quite modern and good. Yeah. But also he does say a term that I hate, which is baby girl, which I hate. And LL used to do that a lot. And he says
girl.
That quite
girl.
A lot.
Yeah.
And that's really annoying.
Yeah, yeah.
Baby girl.
Yeah.
I just watched a lot of his YouTube videos.
And
it was
what did
like
you
a
think?
Playlist. I just... got bored quite quickly.
Okay.
He's got the same lot of product placement in there.
Yeah.
You notice that?
Listen,
really?
He's pushing
drills,
Ciroc
electric
and,
drills.
Yeah. Screwfix.
Yeah, Screwfix. Sponsored by Ron Seal.
But yeah, Fabulous was he's pushing,
okay,
so pushing a lot of products.
So the reason I'd suggested Fabulous is because this is what I think of Fabulous, right? You know, I've been talking about Dat Piff. There's Dat Piff app, right, where they put mixtapes on, and you can listen to all the mixtapes. And there's about 100 Fabulous mixtapes. Every artist has mixtapes on this,
Fabulous
right?
mixtapes.
Yeah, Fabulous mixtapes, right. What I think about him is, I think he's such a great rapper. Like, his voice, his charisma, Everything about him is brilliant, and then he just makes fucking shit.
So, oh yeah,
I just
yeah, he
don't
has got good,
like. You sort of think he's got the ingredients to be so good, and if, and it's like when you said, about some of the tracks, it's where he's gone for like a proper hip hop track and just spat like bars over the top of it. You just think, fuck me, this is an artist I'd buy their album. Do you know what I mean?
And then it's ruined with like seven album ruiners.
Yeah, so and then he just does like another track. And you just think, I don't understand why he's made the decisions that he's made. It's
relies heavily on guests, doesn't he?
Oh, I guess it's a bit annoying.
He loves a feature.
Guests are annoying. I just want to hear the guy.
Well, that's sort of almost more on the track than he is.
Yeah, that's a good hip hop gripe. It's people where they just bring in, featuring. Do you know what I mean?
Isn't there one with a track with Pusha T on it? That's good.
I love Pusha T.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about Be Real talking about getting high. I could listen to Pusha T talk about selling coke forever.
Were you a Capone and Noriega fan? The War Report album. That's a good album.
Yeah. The War Report, what a record.
That was amazing.
It was incredible.
That was amazing. And do you remember Gravediggers?
Yeah, Gravediggers.
That was a lot of horrorcore. Yeah. Helter Skelter was
that was RZA, wasn't it? Yeah. Gravediggers.
And Prince Paul.
Yeah. Gravediggers, first album, great. Second album, The Pick, The Sickle,
yeah,
and the Shovel.
Yeah, you're right. I had that one. Wasn't as good.
Fucking shit, that one.
Yeah, the first one was incredible.
Yeah.
I used to like Helter Skelter. That was creepy as well. Do you remember that one?
Let it begin. Helter Skelter, they did all of that.
That was a really nicely produced album, that.
Yeah, they did that track, La Fla, A Scosh.
I don't remember that one. It's on the album. God.
It's Helter Skelter.
Was it original?
Original Gun Club. Yeah, it was a collective. Yeah. That song's amazing.
That sounds good.
I've got to check it out. Helter Skelter's great. Great though.
Yeah. One of the tracks that I used to love, I was talking to you before about it, was like from, it must be 1989. It was Dope on Plastic.
Incredible.
Uptown.
Play it now. Ready?
Oh, listen to it. We're playing it now underneath. We're doing it. It's good.
Hey, yo, Dante, start up the phonograph. Got around the whole time he voice that. Listen up as I take out the rhyme book. 4 minutes, calculate time to pull up a beat. That sort of a thing. From the rude attitude and got in it to win it. Sat up the microphone, flipped on the switch to mount.
It's good, isn't it?
It
was around the same time as, do you remember Pure Righteousness, like Kim Shabazz? Guitar, like, ooh. There was a time when they were just using those
Bobby
kind
P,
of...
just so you know, he's doing a gesture as well.
It's more of a bass than a guitar.
Yeah.
Well, I do play guitar, and that was a guitar.
Top string.
But then it was around, like, Public Enemy when they used those kind of, like, guitar-y samples.
Yeah.
You know, running their fingers up and down the strings. That's great, all that stuff.
That tune does still hold up now.
Which one? Dope on Plastic. It's unbelievable.
It's incredible.
I'm going to play you that.
Yeah. We're educating you. This is great.
Oh, you'll like that one. It's a great headphone.
It's really bad that Dope on Plastic is like a legitimate thing, and I've got you into tried to get into Fabulous. I mean, it's a bad...
It's sort of a good one to have on your... It really makes you, like, when you listen to it on headphones, still walk quite... You might walk in front of a car on it.
You think you're cool.
You do think you're cool, but you might definitely get run over listening to that, because it's just, I must walk fast.
Do you remember around the same time as sort of like a lot of these artists, these albums you're talking about, Lords of the Underground?
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God, of course.
So Chief Rocker. TikTok.
Chief Rocker, yeah.
Oh my God.
But that was the same time as UMCs and all that stuff. And Brand Nubians.
Mm. Yeah. So UMCs, right? UMCs. I don't know anyone else that's ever mentioned.
One to Grow On.
Oh my God. They were so good. And Brand Nubian.
I saw them one day when I was riding on the tube train.
You saw them in Brighton?
Yeah, live.
Did you?
But all of them there?
At the Concord, yeah. Yeah, Grand Poobah was there.
Oh, he was fantastic.
He threw his towel into the crowd and I grabbed it.
Did you get it?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm. I got George Clinton's goggles. You know George Clinton, Mr. Funkadelic?
Yeah.
He came on at Prince years ago and he was wearing two pairs of goggles. Like chemistry goggles? Two pairs, of course. And he threw them into the audience and I got them.
Sweats a lot.
My main relationship with George Clinton is hearing one of his samples on a rap record, going to find the original record and finding a 23-hour recording of something that has 5 seconds of something from a hip-hop track that I listened to.
But getting really excited when that
But did you enjoy the joint George Clinton stuff? Some of it you did.
Some of it I did, yeah. It is good.
I saw him live about 10 years ago with like Parliament Funkadelic in Brixton, and we went with three of my friends and we all used to love his music, and we went, and this sounds really wussy. It was the loudest concert I've ever been to, and nearly everyone in the crowd had their fingers in their ears, and we had to leave. lots of people, I mean, genuine people that love her music. It was just, like humans couldn't take the noise. And lots of people leaving and just going, it's too loud. It's too loud. We just left. It was too loud. It's the loudest concert. It's the loud. He had like six guitarists playing at the same time. Sort of hell.
And did you have that old 3 days of earring in?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Still got it.
That's permanent damage, isn't
it? I know that. Yeah.
It's permanent damage.
I know that, yeah. Listening to Dope on Plastic too loud in my ears. my right ear damaged?
All right, cool. What are you listening to at the moment?
Hip-hop thing I'm listening to, Danny Brown. That is the one I'm listening to. What other stuff? Yeah. Yeah, I did like... I do keep listening to that Future song, I Serve the Bass.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't decide if I like him or hate him. I sort of hate him, but I like that song.
Yeah,
what do you think of him?
Well,
it's auto-tune drives me mad.
I hate that style of stuff. But
I do, but that tune's
good.
But
what happens is you're right. Every so often, something will come and you go, that's quite good. But I don't like it. I don't know.
We can't end on a negative.
Well,
let's end on a song.
Do you listen to any? Do you listen to any British stuff?
I like JME.
Oh my god, JME, so good.
Brilliant, yeah.
Really
good.
That's
a line about chilling with a veggie wrap in Brent Cross. I love that.
Ask me why I'm not tweeting. I'm in Brent Cross, man, I'm chopping in Lush. If you know me, phone me. I'ma go eat on my lonelies. I'm in Nando's with a veggie wrap, or I'm sitting in Leon munching a Gobi.
He's vegan, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah, he talks about it a lot. Yeah, he's fantastic.
He's vegan and doesn't.
He's really good.
Use fluoride. What's the problem with fluoride?
Oh, you don't use fluoride, do you?
What?
So what, where's he? What's he drink? So what? He won't drink tap water.
I don't know. You'd have to speak to him about it.
I will speak to him. But about it later. I will speak to him.
He has to buy alternative toothpaste, certainly.
Does he rap about that as well? Thing. Maybe he does. He does rap about being vegan a lot.
Yeah. There was that Colgate remix he did, wasn't there? Did you? No. Okay, I'll give you a recommendation.
I don't want it.
Well,
no, I do.
You'll fucking take it.
Okay. No, Michael Jackson, Thriller.
Yeah, there you
Michael
go.
J-A-C-K.
No, check out High Focus. High Focus, High Focus. British hip hop.
Okay.
That label,
okay.
Anything on that label.
Okay, well, that sounds good.
Plug one, plug two. Guest plugs for you.
Is there anything you're doing at the moment that you'd like to shout out?
Not really, no. I'm writing things, but the thing is, annoyingly, I'm not allowed to talk about them because you sort of know you're doing them, and then you're waiting for them to be boringly announced.
Yeah. Mm.
And then.
Well, it's better that you're waiting for them to be announced than waiting for them to actually happen.
You're right.
Because next year for me,
yeah,
could either be I'm still working in comedy.
I don't think you will be. I think it's going to be a very, very bleak.
You've had your fun, mate.
I think it's going to be a bleak year for you.
Yeah.
I think, but at least if you took your mum. Nice full circle on to Centre Park. At least you can just bask in the glow that I did the right thing. My comedy career is ruined because you watch
of my career.
Exactly what's going to happen to you.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But
when that story comes up.
Yeah, of course. But I've always been and I always will be a good son.
Yeah. Well, we've finished as we started here with
three good sons.
Bobby P. thank you so much for coming on. I really
thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Peace.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
See you later, Rupert.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.